Amen. So that was kind of a heavy duty last week, and we illustrated the point with a story. So this week I'm going to do the same thing, kind of start with a story to illustrate the point, but it's not all about the stories. So this week, I guess I'm sitting over in my favorite chair, my man throne, and I might have even been watching some television or something like that, but Pastor Sandy, she over in her woman throne, which is there at the computer, is... It's her favorite spot. And I put it right in the kitchen, so we're together, even though we're not. But anyway, she's there, and she's streaming a service from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that Jeremiah and Nicole, our son and daughter-in-law, were at. A bunch of people from their church were going to a special meeting, 2 or 3 days. I don't remember what it was. But she's listening to this man, and the praise and worship team is going. And they just hit a song that even though I've got the television going, I feel the anointing coming in the place and realize I'm being moved. Amen. I get messed up when I talk about certain things because it starts happening again. And ever since, I've been thinking about this. Actually, even last Sunday morning driving to church, I had the satellite radio on the Christian station there. And a song came in last Sunday while I was driving to church, and my truck just filled with the presence of God. And that was my setup coming to church. Would to God I had that every Sunday. That would help. So I'm just talking about that presence of God that starts to come sometimes. So here's what's been in my spirit all week I want to talk about a little bit. The tangible presence of God. Now, everybody knows the Bible declares God is everywhere. I didn't look up the scripture, but there's one place, I believe it was David, that declared in one of the Psalms, where could I go that you would not be? If I fall into the grave, you are there. If I ascend in heavens, you are there. God is everywhere. We call it, in a theological term, omnipresent, which, by the way, the devil is not. He ain't everywhere. He's running around with his hair on fire trying to take care of all of his business. God is seated on the throne. Devil's running around like a madman. I got a visual in my brain right there. When I was a little kid, we would visit my grandparents' chicken farm, and when there was a sick chicken, my grandpa would take it out from the flock. I'm talking thousands of chickens, an egg farm. And he would take care of a sick chicken with a shovel, taking the head off. And by golly, it was entertaining to a kid. That chicken would stand up and run without his head. They could run a while, all crazy and everything. Ah! That's how they do it. Yeah, that's the devil. Running around with his head cut off, all crazy, just berserk and going nuts. But he won't run forever. So we understand God is everywhere, yet there is something about him, how do I say this, increasing the effect in our realm, in our world, of his presence, that in a variety of ways is tangible, discernible, can be sensed and understood. Now, we know that we are spirit beings living in a body, so we can perceive some spiritual things, yet we live in a world that is natural and overlaid with spiritual kind of at the same time. For instance, this room is filled with angelic spirits right now. And until I call your attention to it, it wasn't present in your awareness, right? You weren't thinking about that until I say it, but they're here. Now, you can look around and see all the people. Do you see the angels? I do not. But there are times when God does something that opens up that part, that realm, that area, and you can either sense or, in a sense, on the inside hear. Or even so far as, we have many examples in the Bible, God can open your ears and eyes to see into that other world and see those things. And it's tangible, sensible. You understand that? You ever walk in a place and just all of a sudden feel like, I'm being watched? That ever happened to anybody? And sometimes it's an ugly kind of being watched, and you know, the hair stands up on the back of your neck, and you feel, I'm not alone. Something or someone is here. That is a sensing of a presence. And it happens both with demonic spirits and angelic spirits, angels, the Lord Jesus, the presence of God. Now, every time I ever sense that ugly sort of presence, I speak to it and deal with it. Take care of that. That dude is trespassing and cannot stay. Amen. So there is a tangible or a sensible presence of God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. We're just going to look at a few places in the scriptures where these things happen. And I guess what I want to eventually get to here is saying there is tremendous value in the tangible presence of God. I mean, I know God is with me. It's good. But if I'm in a jam and the tangible presence of God comes and fills a place, I know at a completely another level. That's not good English, but I know at another level, God is with me. I mean, there are times when people, one that comes to mind is if a car accident happens, and there you are, perhaps bleeding, it would be a good time for a very real presence of God to come and minister peace to you. Even words to say. Maybe I'll tell this story quick. Daughter Jessica here, her youngest, Weston, you know, there was a development in childbirth where all of a sudden they realized his life was in danger, in real jeopardy. A more senior nurse discovered the condition. The umbilical cord was being pinched off and he was not getting blood flow and so on. And so she basically had an emergency cesarean. But she sensed by the look on the face of the nurse and saying, oh, this is not good, this is not good. There was a very real danger right then. Later, I don't remember if it's the same nurse, but someone testified to her, such a calm and such a peace and a quiet came over her. Whereas medical staff starts running, screaming, rushing, almost chaotic. I'm sure it wasn't chaotic, but it could seem to be chaotic. And yet Jessica is going quiet and still. She knew where to turn, first of all. Amen. She looked to her spirit and quieted herself so she could hear the voice of God. And I may get this wrong a little bit, but the Lord ministered to her, you're a tither and a giver, which said that you have a covenant privilege and right to speak concerning this, that she could speak out the results of what would take place, right? Rather than losing a little boy. Boy, he's fun. He's around. He's in the building here. So didn't lose. But that's a good time for a tangible presence of God. And didn't it go something like this? One nurse asked what you were doing. Are you asleep or sleeping? Something like that. Two nurses talking, and what did that nurse say? No, I think she's praying. Amen. She's looking to the inside. She's having the presence of God minister to her instructions, what to do, what to say, right? That'd be a good time for the tangible presence of God. I guess what I'm saying is you can know it as a theological fact, God is everywhere present. But there are times and places in your life where you can benefit from something a little more. And I want to show you from the scriptures, there is more. And just as we should be open to and experiencing and pursuing transformational change in our lives, we also should be pursuing the tangible presence of God. A scripture that keeps rolling around inside to me, you know, I think it was David again in the Psalms. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It makes me glad when I start thinking about the people coming together and going to the presence of God. Now, I will admit to you, sometimes the church gathers and it seems like there ain't no presence of God that you could buy with $1 million. dry, dry, dry. And I don't like those services either. And if I could prevent it from ever happening, I would. But then there's those others where the opposite of dry would be wet. It's just so wet in here, you can't stand up. The floor just gets too slick. Right? The tangible presence of God. And I think what the Lord is saying by leading me in the tangible presence after transformational change, the tangible presence of God brings transformational change. Said more simply, the presence of God will change you. Can I get a witness up in here?
Yeah, up in here.
Praise the Lord. So, let's look at Moses a little bit. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Did you know that this is the presence of God expressed in a sensible, I don't mean make sense, I mean the senses can pick it up, and tangible way? God can show himself in so many different ways, and we would need 3 or 4 hours to start going through. Remember, there was a fire and an earthquake and a wind that went in front of Elijah, and God was not in any of those, but then a still, small voice. So there are all kinds of things through the scriptures that are manifestations, something sensible connected to the presence of God. So here, the bush burns but doesn't burn, and God's voice comes forth from it. Verse 5, then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. While we're here, we need to mention this. When you have these experiences, when the presence of God becomes tangible, the physical world changes. Those places are holy ground. You can sometimes come in this building when nobody is here and walk in and go, ooh, God has been in this room. Sometimes you can feel it. Those of you who maybe come and clean or things like that, there are times when it's like that in here. Other times, not so much, but it changes the physical facts. It changes the ground. It changes, a word we like to use is the atmosphere. The presence of God is sensible. And just like here again, Moses, there's a time when his face glowed and he had to wear a veil. Why? Because his time in the presence of God changed how his skin looked, and light or glory was coming from him, and the people couldn't stand it and asked him to cover up. There is a lingering effect from the presence of God that lasts for some time. You ever notice that you do real good a couple of days after church, but then you're going, I need some more of what I had back Sunday, right? Right. It affects for a while, and then we need again. Amen. Amen. So it's holy ground. Verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Did he see God? No, he saw a bush. But he knew the voice of God there, and it affects you. And Moses was affected. So Moses found himself in the presence of God. God made himself known in the physical realm where Moses could see and hear and feel. I'm establishing that sometimes God, the Lord Jesus, angels authorized to come into this realm where we can see, hear, and feel. And while I'm there, sometimes it's seen more with a spiritual eye, but it can go as far as being seen with a physical eye or sensed in a very real physical way. Let's go to Exodus 33 and verse 15. So this, what we call the burning bush experience, the burning bush story with Moses, changes him. He was hiding out for 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, not wanting to do anything with God and God's people. And he has one experience with the tangible presence of God, and Moses is forever changed. Exodus 33 and verse 15, it says, "Then he said to him," this is Moses speaking to God, "up on the mountain," same mountain where he received the Ten Commandments and so on, many days he spent up in the presence. Joshua waited partway up the mountain on Moses to come down. Moses was up in the cloud. This is the same mountain where it said it had fire and smoke and cloud, and the mountain shook, and the people were afraid, and says, "This is close enough for us. Moses, you just go right on ahead." But Moses was up in these physical manifestations. Did the mountain actually shake? Yeah, I think it was just earthquakes, trembling and all that kind of thing. So he's up in the presence of God. And verse 15 again of Exodus 33, "Then he said to him," Moses to God, "if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." I can't tell you how many times I've kind of said, "Lord, church is fine, but if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't even want to go." You hear what I'm saying? To me, love you all, love people, but I love you with the love of God. But the bottom line is God. And if I can't have his presence with me, helping me, guiding me, instructing me, blessing me, giving me what I need to give to you, whatever I might impart into your life, whatever is good I got from him before I had it to share it with you. And the same for you. Just a simple act of kindness to somebody. God was kind to you, and that's the source of your kindness to somebody else. If you're a mean old cuss, you haven't been in God's presence enough. So it just seems to me I can feel the passion and how deeply Moses feels this and says, "God, if you ain't going forward with us and your presence, don't even want to go. Don't take us. Just forget it. Forget the whole thing." So for me, translating over to today, God, if we don't have your presence when we're in church and so on, forget it. Comes down to him. I love seeing y'all. I love you all. You know, as I just covered, everything I have, I got from God. But I want to go to church and experience his presence. And not just at church. Other places in my life too. There are just times and places God interrupts my life and it becomes holy ground wherever I am at that time. So Moses says, don't even take us any further. Let's read on here, verse 16. "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth." Now think about that for a second. Moses is saying, if your presence is not with us, how will anybody know that we're any different from them? That's a good question for us today. If the presence of God is not upon you, in you, and something you're experiencing, how are you going to be different from everybody else? How will they know there's a living God? The transformational change, going back a week, in you is evidence of the presence of God. And they're going, "Whoa, you got something going on. What's the source of that strength? How is it you're growing and changing?" "Well, I have God working in me, in my life." That's the difference. That's what Moses is talking about here. Verse 17, "So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. 18, and he said, please show me your glory." Moses wants to see more and experience more of the presence of God, even all the way to his glory. Now, the word glory in Hebrew is a word that would be translated heavy or weighty. If you're old enough to remember the 70s, maybe even the 60s, used to be, they would say, "Oh, heavy, man, heavy." In other words, it was something that was profound or impressive or, you know, really weighty, significant, right? That's what this is talking about. The glory of God is his weight or weightiness or heaviness or significance, maybe is a better word to understand that. So God, show me your significance. Now, the glory of God is manifested in our realm that we can see and sense more so, and the translations sometimes talk about the light, the glory of the light, brightness of light, and so on. So Moses asks for such a presence of God, so tangible to him, that he can begin to sense how significant God is. This tells me something. Well, let me read a little further, and I'll have the evidence for what I'm about to say. So he asks to see the glory of God. Verse 19, then he said to him, I will make, Moses asks to see the significance and essence and core of God, his glory. And look, when he's asked, when God is asked for his significance, what God thinks his significance is. You following me? All right? So God's about to talk about his glory or his significance. Looks what he calls his significance, his glory, his weightiness. Then he said to him, verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before you. God, you're so good. See, they were right on time with that song. God brings out the most significant thing he's got. Some folks think of him as a judge, even an unrighteous judge, cruel, whatever, impossible. No, he's good. Above everything else, he's good. He's good to me. 19 again. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And look at this, verse 20. But he said to him, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. You ever see a picture of someone's foot? Do you know who it is by a picture of their foot? Or maybe their arm? Or something like that, you know? If an advertisement's advertising a suit of clothes or something like that, sometimes the picture's just the jacket or something like that. Face is not there. You don't know who it is without seeing the face. The face is the identity. The face is the fullness. The Bible tells us one day we will see him face to face. It was Paul that said that, wrote, and he says, now we see in a glass darkly or in a mirror dimly or kind of an obscure but not fully. So God declares here, if he fully revealed himself and his significance, a natural human, a man, could not see the fullness of God and live. The full, tangible presence of God would kill the human body. So God shows himself in measures. A burning bush, a still small voice, and many other manifestations. If he ever revealed himself in his fullness while we are in the human body, kill the human body. You say, oh, well, I guess I'm done with that. Amen. So God says he cannot show his whole face and have Moses live through the experience. Verse 21, and the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, and so it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Moses has to be protected from the full manifestation of God as God passes by and declares his name. More than one hymn has been written about this. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand. Yeah, I don't know if I could sing another line or say another line from the song, but I don't even remember what song that was. And we know from what's called typology, that the cleft of the rock is Jesus. And we're hidden in Christ. And in Christ, it's safe to fellowship fully with God. Amen. So this is what happens. And then verse 23, then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So there's a measure. And our experiences while we're in this body with the tangible presence of God are measured, part of his presence. And he can make it a little, he can make it a lot. And we can see here, I might as well say this now, the presence of God affects the human body. And sometimes, well, I don't know about people falling down as a for instance in the presence of God. I can show you several examples from the scriptures where a measure, a sufficient measure of God's presence comes into the place and people can no longer stand and fall down. Why do they do that? The presence of God affects the body. It's not creepy and weird. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It has happened to me, and some of those times, there I am on the floor, and I have an experience with God. Once or twice, seen a vision on the inside. God speaks things and says things and shows me things and so on. It's a beautiful thing, not a scary thing. All it is God coming into a place, and the people can't stand up so well. You lose physical strength. Amen. That's all it is. Last week was the Apostle Paul, the transformational change in him. How was that? Well, he was met by Jesus in a blinding light. He didn't see anything but a blinding light and lost his sight. But the tangible presence. Now, the others that were with Paul heard the voice of Jesus. The others, blinding light, and they heard thunder and the ground shook. But Paul got a fuller manifestation, knocked him off his horse. Paul was changed in the tangible presence. Well, I don't know about you, but I could use some tangible presence. And when I come to church every time, I am, Lord, let us have a measure of your presence. Is what I come for. I love you all, but I come more because of God than you. And if God's going to be there, I'm coming to the house where we can meet him. And if y'all come too, that's awesome. I'm great with that. To invest in people, to make their life different, you'll do that best when you've experienced some of the presence of God and you make them hungry for it. Amen. Again, throughout human time, God has made himself detectable and communicates in the world of men. God is not an abstract, an idea, or an invention, but he is the supreme being who created all the realms and is present in all the realms and can manifest in all of the realms. I know there's the physical world we see. I know there's a spiritual world. Are there more than that? I wouldn't have any idea. I don't know. But I know there's at least those two. But whatever realms there are, for instance, the whole idea of time is a curious exercise. What is time? And God is ageless and God is eternal, so his concept of time, I know, is different from mine. And science says to us, if you go fast enough, you can go backwards in time. The speed of time is relative to the speed of light, and light can only travel 186,000 miles per second, but we've lately proven light can be slowed down. And I suppose if it can be slowed down, it can be sped up. And light waves, you know, like we use lasers now in building things because they're perfectly level. They don't change. They don't bend. Light waves, laser beams. But now Einstein proved, and it's been found out to be a fact, gravity bends light. There's some stuff going on that we don't know about. So time is a realm. And God can move in the realm of time. He knows the end from the beginning. How does he do that? I got a theory. He's extremely fast. And he's there at the beginning. He sees the end. I can't do that. However, I do believe when we lay down this body in this realm and we go to the next and we find out how much we're like him, we will also be able to move through time. I can't prove that by the word, but I believe it. Airplanes are not fast enough. I'm going to go faster. Like that. And many of us have probably said, you know, when I get to heaven, I want to see video of when this or that happened. You know, I want to see that. You won't have to see video. You'll get to go to it live. How cool is that? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Anyway, God moves in all of these realms, and he can manifest and operate any way he chooses. I'm trying to tell you, he's real, and he's supreme, and he's more than what we think and more than our understanding. And how and when he chooses, he makes us aware of and affects our lives with his presence. Amen. I believe that it's desirable. We can experience his tangible presence. Go with me to Jeremiah 29, 13. Now we understand you received the Lord Jesus by faith. You believe the Bible by faith, and we have been challenged by people who are unbelievers. Well, if God is real, why don't he just show himself? Right? He could. But he doesn't do it that way. There's an element of a right heart before he shows himself most of the time. Even somebody doing completely wrong things, God knows the heart. And he knows even people trapped in doing whatever they're doing that's not right, if their heart is hungry after truth, God has a way of getting to them and giving them a chance and an opportunity, and he will show himself, right? Jeremiah 29, 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. What am I saying here? I'm saying with a searching of the heart, you can and will experience the tangible presence of God. Well, I just don't believe. I think it's all a bunch of hooey. That's ridiculous. Don't worry about it. You won't be affected. Now, God sometimes just intervenes in people's lives. Sometimes there's a mama and a grandma praying. Right? But most of the time, generally I say, the individual that has a seeking heart, even though presently the things they think they believe, even though presently the things they think are correct and the junk that they're saying and all that kind of stuff, regardless of that, God sees the heart. And when he sees that certain quality in the heart, an honest, a truth-seeking heart, tenderness that doesn't show on the outside sometimes, God will reveal himself to that one. So when they do find him, they're changed. And the Bible is full of individuals who changed. Let me show you what happens in one particular example when one experiences the tangible presence of God. Go to 1 Kings 19. I'm just backing up the things that I'm saying with examples from the scriptures here. Instead of just one story and pull the principles, I'm just taking several different occasions. 1 Kings 19 and verse 7. This is after Elijah, the prophet, had the showdown on Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal, where he said, let's settle this once and for all. All you call on Baal and build an altar, put a burnt sacrifice thing on it there, you know, and you call on Baal, and whichever God answers by fire, he's God. So they go through all this thing, cutting themselves in a whole hour's, you know, ordeal. And then Elijah says, okay, my turn, build an altar. Dig a ditch around it, pour water over the wood, pour water over the offering, pour some more again. It fills up the ditch and everything. And he says, God, boom, burned. The sticks burn, the offering burn, the rocks burn, the water dries up and is gone. So all of this has just happened, And Elijah, for some reason, the anointing lifts from him, and he gets scared of Queen Jezebel, and he's on the run for his life. Right? If you ever see this in you, after a real wonderful experience in the strength of God, as that presence might sort of lift from you, we are vulnerable in a weak moment. I've noticed it in my life. You maybe do too. That's normal. That's just time to by faith say, no. It'll be as God told me. Amen. So this is Elijah running away and exhausted. And he actually gets to a point where he says, God, just kill me. Just take me home. I don't want to mess with this no more. Had enough. Just kill me. All right? So he falls asleep, and then 1 Kings 19:7, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time, touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Oreb, the mountain of God. That's some crazy food. Where can we get that? It wasn't the food. It was the presence of God. Now, when it says the angel of the Lord in the scriptures, almost always, the word angel is used generally, but when it says angel of the Lord, usually you'll find it capitalized. In this case, it's not here in the New King James, but I looked, and there's a footnote that says it could be either way. Usually, that is a manifestation of Jesus himself before he came to this world in human body. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Jesus. So Jesus himself comes and touches him and gives him food. And what happens? He's strengthened. Among the many things that can happen to us when the tangible presence of God comes, this one is high on my list, to be strengthened. This is why I think it's a great thing to go away to a special conference, a camp meeting or something like that, because many times you'll go 40 days in the strength of that conference. Josh this morning already mentioned is in California, a camp meeting there, and how affected they are. How about it, Kathy? Yeah. The tangible presence of God. We have another word for that, the anointing. Sometimes we say the anointing is in the anointing has come. We're referring to the presence of God in a sensible can be sensed way. That's what we're talking about. So the anointing upon you, the strengthening, the presence of God upon you can take you sometimes 40 days in the strength of that food. Do you want the tangible presence of God? Yes, because strengthening is valuable to you. You ever prayed, Lord, give me strength? How does he do that? Most often, it will be an exposure to his presence. You need strengthening? Gather with the saints of God in church. It's a little more than kind words from your brother and sister. It's the anointing and the presence of God touching you, strengthening you. Amen? This is one of the effects and one of the reasons why we want this. There are others who were changed, and for time, I'm not going to go to any of the scriptures on them. And here's just some of them. Joshua had an encounter with the presence, and he was changed. Gideon was changed in the presence of God. King Saul, there's a place, and even though Saul didn't end up fully fulfilling the plan of God for him and all that, but there was a place where Saul came into the presence of the prophets of God. The anointing came on him, and he prophesied, and the people go, look at this. Saul, is he among the prophets also? In other words, that manifest presence of God got on Saul, and he began to prophesy like one of the prophets. He was changed into another man. Transformational change from tangible presence. Last week and this week go together. King David, continually ministering to the Lord, experiencing the presence of God, was changed. Solomon, in Solomon's case, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, ask of me what you will. And he asked, Lord, your people are a great company. Give me wisdom to rule your people. And what did God do? Gave him wisdom. He's reputed to be the wisest man that ever lived. He was changed in the tangible presence. So that teaches us also, God can come to you in a dream. And you can be changed in a dream. And God says, since you asked a good thing, I'm also going to give you your enemies, and I'm going to give you riches too. Amen. So this is another tangible presence of God in a dream. Now, not every dream you have is from God, right? But Solomon, Isaiah, at the altar of God, and an angel takes a hot coal. This is in a vision, hot coal, and touches his lips. And the Lord says, who shall I send? And he says, here am I, send me. Isaiah totally changed in a vision in the presence of God. How about Mary, the mother of Jesus? This was Gabriel, the angel, that came. And he came with the message of God. So I think it fits in here as well. She is totally changed. She answers with the word she's given about you're going to have a child. How? She says, I don't know a man, meaning I've not been with a man. He says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And she says, be it unto me according to your word. She's changed forever. Joseph, her eventual husband, in a dream, the Lord speaks. He's changed. The angel says, take Mary to be your wife, for this thing is of the Lord. That's life-changing, right? You better believe it. So he did. He followed that instruction. It's life-changing. The Apostle Paul, we mentioned him, road to Damascus, Jesus appears, and he had other experiences as well. Paul's the one who talked about, I know a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, but such a man was caught into the third heaven and heard things inexpressible in articulate speech. And such things cannot be repeated and said, you know. And so Paul's talking about himself, even though he talks in third person. So Paul had first change and ongoing change. And as I mentioned earlier, he had a right heart. Even though he's imprisoning Christians, even responsible for deaths, God saw his heart and confronted him with a tangible presence. Right? Peter changed. The Apostle John. The Revelation that Josh mentioned earlier, you know. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he talks about being caught up and seeing things. So John, throughout his ministry, really all the apostles, they were changed. But here's some examples. And there were whole corporate gatherings, not just individuals, but gatherings of people that experienced the tangible presence of God, and the whole gathering was changed, and God manifest himself. Let me take you to 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 10. Now, this was at the dedication of Solomon's temple. After building the whole temple, they're dedicating it to the Lord, and the Lord comes in his presence in a tangible way into the building. And it says in verse 10, I'm just taking one verse. We could look at the whole story, but time doesn't permit right now. It says, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Now, I see I don't have the rest of the verses there. What does it say in the next verse? So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. One of the ways that God sometimes reveals his presence is in a cloud. Now, that has been, by my experience and the testimony of many others, sometimes it's a spiritually seen thing. Sometimes, actually, physically, you can see a cloud come in a place. Well, I don't believe it for a second. Well, then don't worry about it. But it's one of the ways God reveals himself. And if you have a heart to see, you will. But his tangible or sensible presence, here's a cloud. And what does it do? When it says they could not continue ministering, other translations says they cannot stand to minister. So let me tell you what happened. They all fell down. The presence of God, the cloud of God, came into the room, and they all fell down. One of the most powerful spiritual experiences I ever had was back when I was in Bible school. Brother Hagin was teaching our entire class, there's 800 of us in the room, and he suddenly stopped, kind of stood, was quiet for a second. There was doors all around the room, ways out, and he said, "The Holy Ghost is this way and coming in this room from that direction." And he sat down. And slowly across the room, a presence came. How do I know? Because you could see in a slow progression across the room, people falling, people answering the call of God, some coming up singing, some lifting hands and worshiping, but slowly a wave came across the room. And when it hit me, brother and sister, I knew it. And it kept right on going across the room. A tangible presence. I pray that's not the last time I ever see that happen. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, please. Now this is after persecution of some of the believers and the apostles imprisoned. The people go to prayer because of troubles. And after they pray, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness." And it says the place was shaken. Does that mean literally, physically? I don't know. Perhaps. To me, it doesn't matter a whole lot. But there are other places where the Bible talks about earthquakes and places being shaken, you know, effects on the physical place, the physical room. This is a corporate gathering. This is in response to prayer. Those of you especially given to prayer and in our prayer groups and so on, you can pray the presence in. And you have done it many times. Sometimes I know what happens in a service is because they've been praying in that room before we started the service. Amen. A tangible, including shaking the place. There is testimony, I do not remember whose meeting it was, but McCormick Place in the city of Chicago. Can you help me, BJ? Whose meeting? What was that? Yeah, there was cited and phone calls into the fire department. The McCormick Place roof is on fire. And fire units went to it. There was no fire. A Fifth Sunday convention. Okay, most of you don't know what that was. You got to go back to the 70s and 80s for that. But on the Fifth Sunday, all the charismatic congregations in the city of Chicago would gather in one place, the Pentecostal Charismatics. You know, when the charismatic movement was really taken off. So that would be a wide variety of speakers. Lester Summerall would be one of them occasionally for that. Robert Tilton, yeah, a variety of individuals. Anyway, people who were outside the building, just regular people, saw fire. It was fire on top of the building, and there was no fire. Amen. Lots of fire trucks, yeah. Yeah. So that's a historical fact. You could probably do some research and find that. For me, I especially noticed that certain songs and certain music open my heart to his presence and bring me into contact. Without telling the whole story, you remember I started singing here a few weeks ago, "I'm expecting great things." And I asked who knew that song, and it was almost nobody. And then we found it online and some music, and we played and we sang, and it was a contact with the Spirit of God. That song for a particularly one individual in our church became the point at which they hung on in desperate circumstances, and it saved a life. Music changes things. Go to 2 Kings chapter 3. Music is a gift from God. It is a powerful thing. And like a gun, be careful which way you point it. If that thing goes off, it's going to do something incredible. It's powerful. So you can have music that glorifies God, or music can be quite the opposite. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15. There was a time when the kings of Israel and Judah were going to war, and they were asking the prophets, "How's this going to turn out? What do we need to do? Should we go to battle?" And all that kind of thing. And so they're asking for a prophet to tell them. In the Old Testament, you couldn't be led of the Spirit in your own heart. You would seek guidance from one of the prophets. So they called for the prophet. The prophet asked to give the heart of God, the counsel of God, says, "But now bring me a musician." I thought the prophet prophesies. The prophet's in contact with God. Yes, he is, but music helps the prophet put him in contact with the anointing. You know this. You experience this. There are times when we're having music, some songs hit it, some don't. We're trying to do only songs that hit it. It's not the musician's fault. Sometimes it's like, come on, folks, let's get engaged a little bit. But anyway, there is a role of the minstrel, the psalmist, the musician. There's a power of God in that. And there are times where if we want to have the tangible presence of God, get a musician. A longing in my heart is to again have live band like we used to years ago. There's just things you can do that you cannot do with recorded music. The anointing came, the presence of God came as music is played, as songs are sung. On this note, I can initiate contact with God by starting music like that. It's a desire in me that I start worshiping, I start certain songs and so on, and God responds to that. Other times, he initiates. But I'm glad I can initiate. It's not totally, well, if God wanted to do it, he just ought to do it. I have a role to play in that. You have a role to play in that. When you bring your beautiful, wonderful, happy, encouraged, uplifting self to church, you're playing a role that's helping us. If you bring Mr. Sourpuss, it doesn't help. Maybe we can overpower you and help you, you know, but it sometimes is a back and forth sort of thing, right? So we can initiate that tangible presence of God. Music is one of the ways. Psalm 107, two scriptures and we're done. Psalm 107, verse 9, please. It says here, "For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Remember, Moses asked to see the glory of God, and God says, okay, I'll pass before you and declare my goodness. How do you get the goodness of God into your life? Be hungry. You can initiate the goodness of God in your life. Well, I wish God would just do something about this. Well, he wishes you would. We play a great big role in these things in our lives. The tangible presence of God. Well, how come I don't have the tangible presence of God? Well, yeah, good question. How come you don't? And we have to look inward for responsibility for much of that. And then one more scripture, please. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Jesus speaking says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you want that transformational change in your life, if you want that tangible presence of God in your life, you want the goodness of God in your life, how do you get it? Pursue it. Be hungry for it. Anybody ever know that a picnic or a party or a going out and a big meal's coming up? And you know that, boy, you want to really get you some when you go to this meal, and you will fast beforehand to leave room for it and make sure you're hungry. Nothing worse than showing up at V's house and you already ate. She wants you to come hungry so she can give you something to eat, right? You don't have to fast from the presence of God, but you develop a hunger. The hungry heart will be filled. The hungry heart will be filled. You know what's wrong with our nation and our churches right now? There's a lack of hunger. You know why there was a great revival and charismatic movement where I can remember standing in line over an hour, 2 hours to get into church and hope I would get a seat and wouldn't have to stand along the wall. Or an overflow room or satellite connection, TV connection or something like that. It's not like that anymore, but it used to be. You know what the difference was? There was hunger in the people. What makes you stand outside in nasty weather waiting for them to open the doors 2-3 hours before service? What makes you travel, even internationally? Remember the great outpouring, Toronto, Canada? People would go from all around the world. Pensacola, Florida, all around the world. And other revivals like that. Ramah's camp meeting used to be from all around the world. Thousands would come and wait in line. What was it? It was hunger. I don't know about you, but if I, sometimes the wind is right, you step outside of this building and you smell the Wendy's restaurant over there, flame broiling them burgers and stuff like that, you go, oh, I'm hungry. I didn't know it until I smelled it. Same with God. And by the way, your job concerning other people is to smell good. When they smell you, do they get hungry? Do you smell like a flame-broiled Whopper or like the trash? How come Pastor Dan always ends up talking about food? Well, because it's lunchtime. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for His tangible presence? Are you willing to experience transformational change? If you are, you will be filled and satisfied. You know, after you really eat, you find the chair, kick back and go, oh, oh, that was good. That was good. That's what we want, right? Right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray a moment. Just stay seated. Father, we thank you for the availability of your tangible presence, the availability of transformational change in our lives, and the hungry heart you will fill. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.